Can we clap our hands for Jesus?
Oh, yeah.
Put your hands together for our God.
Let me give you glory.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
A songwriter said today is a happy day. That happy day is today. Can we sing it 150? Oh, happy day that fixed my joys. Thank you.
When Jesus was
This morning, has he not been faithful between the last time we gathered here and today? Acknowledge his faithfulness. Acknowledge it. Acknowledge it. Worship him. Acknowledge it. Acknowledge it. Appreciate him this morning. In Jesus' name we worship. You have to look back at the week. Look all around you before you can truly appreciate God's faithfulness. Watching over us in this dangerous terrain we find ourselves. Perilous times, danger everywhere. But He has preserved His people. You alone art worthy, Lord, to be praised.
You alone art worthy, Lord, to be praised.
Lord,
you not be faithful to somebody here? If you offer any prayer this last week and you believe God answer it, open your mouth now and see that as a reason to acknowledge His faithfulness and appreciate Him for His faithfulness. Appreciate Him one more time before we sit down. Let heaven hear you appreciate Him. Appreciate Him. Appreciate Him for His faithfulness. Oh. If you can remember any prayer point, appreciate Him. In Jesus' name we worship. Certainly somebody will be blessed here today. You're going to tell the Lord, remember me as you will bless your people today. Tell the Lord, nobody comes to your presence and remains the same. Now by the end of today's service, let this be my testimony. Open your mouth and claim the blessings for today. Claim the blessings for today because you came. Claim the blessings for today that you came. Yes. Jesus' name we pray. Hymn number 36, there shall be showers of blessing. If you believe you are among those that will be blessed today, then you sing it as a confession before the Lord. There shall be showers of blessing. Thank you. certainly somebody will be blessed today. Certainly. If you are that person, then you sing it from your heart. Let heaven hear it. Let heaven hear it. Everybody now. Oh,
there shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of God. There shall be seasons refreshed. She sent from the Savior above.
Say, say.
Showers of blessings.
Father, shower your blessings.
Showers of blessings today.
Let the drum round us upon.
Let the drum round us upon. Oh, yes. God for the shower we bleed.
Oh, there shall be showers of blessing,
precious reviving again,
reviving
again.
Oh, yes.
Over the hills and the valley,
over the hills and the valley,
sound of abundance of rain,
sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessings.
Send them upon us, O Lord.
Send them upon us, O Lord.
Grant to us now our refreshing.
Grant to us now our refreshing.
Come now and honor thy word.
Come now and honor thy word.
Father, shower your blessings.
Show us a blessing we need.
Let the drop round us a falling.
Let the drop round us a falling.
Show us we bleed.
For the shower we bleed.
There shall be showers of blessings.
Oh, today that they might fall.
Oh, that today they might fall.
Now as to God we are confessing.
Now as to God we are confessing.
Now as to Jesus we call.
Now as on Jesus we call.
Oh Lord, shower your blessing.
Oh yes.
Clap.
Shower your blessing. Hallelujah. God bless you. Be seated. We connect ourselves all around the world with those online now. Can we wave our hands to everyone that is online now? Can we tell them shalom, shalom, shalom? We are waving to you all online. Shalom, 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 shalom. Wherever you are, the bride of Jesus Christ, we say shalom. God bless you. God bless you. By this action, you are connected. Amen. Okay, can I look at the Bible now? Let's listen to just this exhortation. Let's see the mystery of redemption. We are continuing with the second part. of the exhortation I titled The Feasts of the King. And I said there are three feasts. And we pick that understanding from the book of Esther, chapters 1 and 2. The book of Esther, chapters 1 and 2. We read it last week so that we can move forward. Hallelujah. I want to stress something here. A lot of us just go to church and we don't know that salvation is an agenda of God. Salvation is an agenda of God. It is His own program, and He does it for His own pleasure. And no one can help God to do anything. Have that at the back of your mind, that no man can help God to do anything. So don't even position yourself to look as if you, sinners are dying. Hey, I have had a preacher that say, you are not evangelizing. If a sinner dies around you without hearing the word, God will hold you responsible. I say, God can never hold me responsible for any man. Hallelujah. He cannot hold me responsible for any man that will go to hell. He can't hold me responsible. He can't hold you responsible. The only thing you will do is you will lose your reward because you had opportunity to do something for the advancement of the kingdom. You didn't do it. You will lose your reward. That's all because you refuse to contribute your own part. And something revelation does. Revelation places a necessity upon you. If you are truly revelated, then there will be a necessity. You will see the need all around, and then a necessity will be placed upon you to also do something. But whether you do it or not, He said if you refuse to worship God, He said He is able to raise up stones to praise Him. So God cannot, if you refuse, He bypasses you. Anything you do for the advancement of the kingdom is just a privilege. It's opportunity God is giving you for a blessing. And if you exploit it, you will be blessed. If you neglect it, you lose the blessing. And the kingdom will move forward. Nobody can hinder the move of God. Have that at the back of your mind so that you don't think that whether you pay your tithe or not, if you refuse to pay your tithe, another person will pay his tithe. And if you refuse, God will go to the sea and then catch a fish and bring out the money and meet his need and push the fish again back to the water. I don't know if you understand that. I don't know if you understand what I mean. Water, there is multitude in the world. Yes, it's the world. Hallelujah. He will go to the world among unbelievers and touch somebody that will push money. You won't even know who pushed the money there. You will just see money in your account to meet his need. If you refuse to use the blessing he has blessed you, the financial blessing he has blessed you, you put it in your pocket, you do any other thing, you are changing cars every day, all you do is yourself. Let me tell you, it's for your own good. Hallelujah. You cannot even frustrate a ministry. Hallelujah. Because this program that we went, I understand that the pastor is his passion. All of a sudden, a group of people, because it's not a very big church, is organizing a very big program. And he's sponsoring it all alone. And I didn't even know. He was telling me this yesterday, that all of a sudden, there was a gang up. So people went and then sowed seed of discord on the people in the church that sponsor his ministry. And none of them brought any cover. And so everything was on the pastor's head. He's a businessman. So he uses his finances for the ministry. And then, so the day is coming. All they were saying is that program should not hold. It will not hold. And when he found out, he told them, he said, if God called me, he will make the provision. I'm not doing it for myself, it's for the advancement of the kingdom. I didn't even know. And here am I here, it just led in my heart. And then I called, I think it was when I troubled Pastor Francis. I called Pastor Francis. I said, look, that program there, let's support them, let's help them. Do you think I was the one doing it? It was God. And then we sponsored almost half of the bill for that program from this ministry. And then he was telling me, you don't know what you did. That thing that you said, you were not even in the country. You didn't even wait to come back. You were there and you were given instruction they should raise money to give them there. And I'm telling you this thing, that is how God works. You zip your pockets. It is for your own good. Hallelujah. You all know here, I have never gone to any of you to say, see, oh, we have this, oh, we have this thing, bring, bring. I will never. I will go on my knees and pray, Lord, you know we have a need. And when there is a need, there will be a provision. I am telling you something that many of us will lose our reward because we had opportunity to do something for the advancement of the kingdom. We became too selfish to do it. Hallelujah. The finances that God gave you, hallelujah, it is what God gives you that you use to serve him, that you use to worship him. You cannot be a giver. You cannot have a given ministry if you are poor. Amen. Those who are poor, they don't have given ministry because you can't give what you don't have. The evidence that God is making you to be a giver is that he will cause finances to be flowing to you. And foolish believers who say, I am going home, I am going home, I am going home. Church, tell me any Igbo man. Because Igbo people, you can learn a lot from them because I have associated with them. Tell me any Igbo man here that built his house in Lagos here where he has not built his house in his village. Tell me any Igbo man that has a more beautiful home here in Lagos than the one he has in his village. Oh. It is only Christians that have no plan in case then drive and come out from Lagos. Where you go run to go? When you die, where will you go? You have no plan for it. That makes us look very foolish. You are here busy buying things that will decay here. You have bought the latest car, Abby. In 2 years' time, that car will become obsolete. And you spend millions. And those your millions will have used it for the gospel and souls will have been won to the gospel. And forever they remain jewels in your crown of glory. Hallelujah. I am saying this to provoke somebody to wake up and do something. Any ability you have, use it. I use money just as an example. There are others, out of your profession. You are a professional in any area. See how you can use that profession for the advancement of the kingdom. And don't always go to the area that you will have gain here. You won't do anything in the church until you are paid. You can't come and offer any voluntary service until you are looking for employment. People come to me, Pastor, fix me somewhere now. Church, let the church employ me somewhere. I will just look at you. Is it Ministry of Labor? Ministry of Employment. Amen. Because all you have is what you can gain from it. So many of us, they are going to the mountain and fasting and praying because I know if I pray for something and somebody and something happens, I know that he will remember me. That is the reason why you intercede for people. That is the reason why you pray for people. That is the reason why you are seeking for anointing. You are not saying it so that you are not, seeking anointing so that the children of God can be blessed by the grace in your life, but it's the money you will make. And people will come and say, since you've been in the ministry, what have you got to show for it? I have got something to show for it. There are people that give testimonies from my ministry. There are souls that have been won to Christ. Hallelujah. Wherever you are, do something for the advancement of the kingdom. It is this lack of revelation that has produced businesses called churches in Nigeria in particular. But God has an agenda for salvation. And God purposely blinding the eyes of the people concerning salvation. And so let's go to Matthew chapter 13. And then let's read this popular scripture we always refer to. Verse 9 and verse 10. Matthew chapter 13. Verse 9 and verse 10. He spoke in parables. And in verse 9, he said, "Who had ears to hear, let him hear." So that means some people, as I'm speaking now, some have ears, but there are no ears to hear anything that can progress their life spiritually. How many people have ears to hear here today? How many people have ears to hear here today? Amen. Not too many hands were up. How many ears are hearing me today? Eh? Okay. Touch your ear. Say, "I'm blessed." Touch your ear now if you are hearing me. And so in verse 9, he emphasized, "Who had ears to hear, let him hear." And in verse 10, after he spoke the parables, "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" Why didn't he just say, "Go and baptize in my name"? Which one? "Be go and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." And somebody once picked microphone to ask me, why didn't Jesus just say, "Go and baptize in my name," or say, "Go and baptize in the name of Jesus"? Why did he say, "Father, Son, Holy Ghost"? You are talking another thing. He who has ear to hear. Praise God. Okay. He answered them, verse 11. He answered and said unto them, this is the reason why I am speaking to them in parables. Because it is given unto you sitting and listening to me now, my disciples, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. That means, I keep saying it, if you have no other scripture, use this scripture to see that salvation is not for all. If salvation is for all, then he will speak in parables. Then he added, "For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath." He's talking about revelation. "Therefore, speak I to them in parables, because they, seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand." They see. Hey. Go to Mark chapter 4. There is a way Mark put it in his own narration of the same thing. In Mark chapter 4, hallelujah, verse 33 and verse 34, after he spoke the parable, he says, And with many such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it. But without the parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone with his disciples now, he expounded all things to his disciples. So out there, he left them in confusion. But he has a group of people. The church, the Bible describes them using various words. He called them the elect. He called them the bride. He called them the chosen. He called them what again? Praise the Lord. He called them the seed. His seed, the seed of God. In various terminologies, there is a group Salvation is not for all. This thing will help you so that you will understand why Peter said, give diligence to make it your own calling, your own calling and election. If you are elect, sure. And sure, know which one you belong. The Church of Jesus Christ is composed of different group of people. And with 17 years as of today of pastoring this ministry, I have seen these various groups. In the church, there are tears. In the church, there are a group of people that can be described as goats. There are a group of people who claim to be fish. I will make you a fisher of men. The gospel goes, and then. But there are even fish. There are different type of fish. There are some fishes in the church that are electric fish. They are all another group in the church. And of course, we have crayfish. That's not even the one I'm talking about. You know, at least crayfish will not harm you. Crayfish will not harm you. Praise the Lord. But electric fish, be careful. You will be shocked. What? This one will take communion. This one will pray with. This one where they prophesy for bride assembly. This one where they do like this. This one where they do like this. Now you want to sleep with me. I didn't say I'm a man of God. For bride assembly. Oh. Praise the Lord. You put your trust. You put your trust on somebody. Hallelujah. You put your trust on somebody. The day he will betray you, you will say, they are all in the church. And God knows them. And God sees them. Hallelujah. Because they are not there for salvation. Church, there are many pastors that are not there for salvation. The Bible says, their belly is their God. Amen. Their belly is their God. Their belly is their God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So what type of gospel will they be preaching? They will be preaching to satisfy their belly. So I want you to understand. I keep stressing some of these things. There is always somebody listening to me, watching me for the first time, or hearing me for the first time, or even sitting down here, you're coming here for the first time. I have to continue to say it so that you will know which side you belong and take your position accordingly as you join us here. For by their fruits we shall know them. But I'm not telling you one mystery. I'm just telling you one mystery. Hallelujah. I'm not telling you one mystery. That salvation is not for all. And this is the evidence. He speaks in parable. And then there's a group of people he explains this to. They are his chosen ones. And he personally chooses them. And for his own purpose. They are God's elect. In this age, we call ourselves, according to the scripture, the bride of Jesus Christ. There are things we know that the concubines do not know. And I try to explain this to you so that you will stop comparing your church with another church. Don't even compare yourself with anybody just because he is carrying the sermon books of William Branham. Don't even say, it's our brother because they have said they are a message church. Satan has invaded the ministry of William Branham more than any other ministry has ever been invaded. It carries all manner of people. Come and see how they are criticizing me. People who are the same followers of Mr. William Branham. See how they are criticizing me. I told a brother yesterday. He's telling me how much they criticize him and things like that. Hallelujah. And I told him, I said, they are wasting their time. Amen. Because they don't know me, they think they will distract me. I say, where my focus is, I am too serious with my focus to listen to such criticism. I'm not looking for approval from man. And I'm not seeking followership. I'm not a politician looking for people to follow me. And I'm not making any claim that I am now the Will Abraham of today. I am now the star messenger. I didn't say I am the lead apostle. Neither did I say I'm the chief apostle. Neither did I say even I am an apostle. I did not make any claim whatsoever. I did not even say that I am the lighthouse now. Now, after Will Abraham died, this one followed. This one now. I am now. It is done for the black. And I am now. I never, and I will never do that. So what's your problem? I'm just doing what I have passion to do. Preach the gospel and see sinners saved. That's all. But you are worried. It is because they cannot understand what God is doing in this ministry. Hallelujah. Cannot understand. They gave me a topic in the seminar to come and tell the ministers. So many ministers were there. And the church, so the gathering of people. My topic was how to grow your ministry. Listen, church, and enter message believers. Hallelujah. And I said so many things that the people really saw their errors. You know, I used so many things, but one of the things I said is that Jesus Christ said, if I be lifted up, I will draw men. Preach Jesus, not Will Abraham. I told them, you are preaching Will Abraham, I am preaching Jesus. You can see the difference. Hallelujah. Will Abraham say, even if Will Abraham quotes Bible, they will say it's Will Abraham that say. Idol worshippers. God knows they are there. And that is why, if God calls me to understand something, I will share it with you. Follow that line. I will never mislead you because me, myself, I want to go to heaven. I want you to understand the mystery so that even me here, if I deviate, you will dump me and follow the right way. That is what I want to achieve in the things I say. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's exactly what he does. In making us understand salvation, he hid the mystery. He did in a mystery until he comes down and explains it to you. All the stories in the Old Testament is nothing but to make salvation clearer for you. Nothing more. And the salvation, oh, glory be to God. The story of Esther is the story of redemption. Three feasts in chapter 1 there. We look at the first feast last week. We were on the second feast. We close on the second feast. The second feast was held on the seventh day. Hallelujah. Amen. In a summary, King Ahasuerus made feasts. Called all the different groups of people. And then he got to a time and he now brought his queen to show his guests. That is the story in Esther chapters 1 and 2. To show his guests, but the queen refused to come and disobeyed the husband. But the queen, hallelujah, the Bible described that the queen was fair, beautiful, but beautiful without character. And the king was not happy. He was not happy. And then a plan was developed. She has to be put away. And a replacement will be found. And like we saw last week, that queen is Israel. It's Israel. They rejected salvation. He burnt down their cities, burnt down their city, Jerusalem, scattered everywhere. and turn to the Gentiles. In that story, King Ahasuerus sent forth his chamberlains, 7 of them, to go and look for a replacement for that queen that disobeyed. He has to find a replacement. Apart from the story of Esther, we saw the story in Matthew chapter 21 and chapter 22. There are also parables that also confirm salvation was for Israel. They rejected him and he had to turn to the Gentiles. And in 7 church ages, he has been gathering his bride. Hallelujah. All that is going on now in Christianity is a seeking of the bride that will replace Queen Vashti. Catch it. All that is going on now in Christianity is the seeking for a replacement of Israel. She lost the position that was given to her to a stranger, and we want to see how that replacement was found. By the same standard, that is how you too, you will qualify to be the bride of Jesus Christ. And if you look at chapter 2 of Esther, verse 1, 2, 3, and maybe 4. After these things, Esther chapter 2, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus was appeased, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what was decreed against her. Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, let there be fair young virgins sought for the king, and let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather together all the fair, beautiful girls, virgins, he called them, young virgins, unto Shushan the palace, to the house of the women, unto the custody of again the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, and let their things for purification be given to them. Before you come to the king, you must be purified. And let the maiden which pleased the king be queen instead of Vashti, and the thing pleased the king, and he did so. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now let's see how they went about doing it now. Amen. Okay. From verse 5. Now in Shushan the palace, there was a certain Jew, whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shemil, the son of Kish a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity which had been carried away with Zechariah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. So, and he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther. Esther's second name is Hadassah. Esther's Jewish name is Hadassah, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. And the maid was fair and beautiful. She was an orphan. You have to understand the estate of Esther to appreciate grace. Esther is an epitome of grace. The Bible says, blessed are they who are poor. Poor in the spirit, for they shall be filled. I discovered that the people that benefit
from true salvation, first and foremost, God does something that makes them get themselves so humble. Because if you are not humbled, you will not be able to listen to instructions from above. No wonder. Many of us here, before God will arrest you, He has used crisis. He either used one sickness, He will use a business frustration, business breakdown, or He will leave poverty all around you, or He will make you go inside prison yards, so that all your dignity is removed. He will put you in an estate. Oh, that fine, beautiful girl. He will allow you, he will make sure you know marry. Until you are almost getting expired. Sorry for the use of that language. Yes. Until you will reach a stage where you say, anyone, anyhow, any man, Lord, any man, anyhow, any man. And no man they come. Then that song, where will I go? Where will I go? I've wandered far away from God. They are the ones, the day they give their life to Christ, now then they cry. Father, I don't suffer it. Father, I don't suffer it. Oh, yeah. Anything you want, do with me now. Oh, yeah. Papa, do it. So that you know why some of us appreciate salvation more than some others. Anyone that truly will be part of the bride of Christ in this age, there will be something that will make you look at yourself as nothing. Yes, until you come to that estate, you are not yet ready for salvation. God cannot deal with you. Because if you still have something to boast about, an ability to boast about, God cannot deal with you because you will argue with His word. You will argue with His servants. You will argue with the pastor. They are arguing with the message of the day. They are arguing because they are rich. They have all things. They have all connection. What are you saying? I don't serve this type of God. My wife should not wear trousers. My wife should not paint. My wife should not pamp. No. Look. I serve a good God. God can never give them the revelation you are receiving now. God will give them what they want. And we shall come to that. Verse 8. So it came to pass, when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan the palace, to the custody of Haggai, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house, to the custody of Haggai, keeper of the women, and the maiden pleased the keeper, the chamberlain, and she obtained kindness of him, and he speedily gave her things for purification. Church, take note. Is it the king that gave the things for purification or the chamberlain? Oh, glory be to God. If you are going to come to Christ, what the preacher will first give you, when you now say you give your life to Christ, He will give you the things for purification. And the things for our purification have been given to us through the chamberlain for this age. Go to the sermon books of William Branham. They are the things for purification. When you come, we give you the message. You cannot read. We have preachers here that will read and tell you what the things for the purification are. And that is why we are different.